It was Basil's mother, the widow Marcel, who first suspected a change in Arvid. She noticed that her daughter-in-law rarely spoke now in the morning, while before she had often hummed, and late in the evening, Marcel would hear her praying aloud in a singing, chant-like voice. Then one morning she followed Arvid outside. She found her holding back her hair with one hand and pushing against the woolen folds of her dress with the other as she retched onto the ground. Marcel placed her hand on Arvid's belly.
"My child, have you yet told your husband?"
At that point, she had to catch the suddenly sobbing young woman to keep her from collapsing entirely. Basil and Jacob had already left for a day of cutting firewood in the forest. When they returned, smelling of pine resin, their hands and forearms dark and sticky with the substance, Basil entered a room filled with women, all of whom went suddenly silent. In addition to his mother and wife, Jacob's wife Clara was there, holding the baby Ermeli. Beside her was Sebastian's bride Ursula, and Arvid's two sisters, Anna, with her daughter Agnes, and Giselle, the mother of the boy Zacharias. When Jacob entered the room a moment later, he witnessed a scene he would not soon forget. He saw Basil sit down heavily and call for beer. Then Arvid stepped away from the other women. She approached her husband and, with trembling lips, whispered something to him. Jacob saw his brother jump to his feet and call out, "My God, I have killed you and damned my very soul." Then he turned and ran from the room. The women were gasping and crossing themselves. They rushed to Arvid, who had fainted and fallen to the floor. Looking out, Jacob saw his brother half running as he left the property entirely. It was after dark when Basil returned to the Helgen home. With him was Frau Rachel Mueller, the village midwife. The women in the family were surprised to see the two of them together. Frau Mueller was not normally seen walking about in the company of a man. Gray, short, and spiny, it was generally believed she had never married, though there were rumors to the contrary. She could be seen trekking alone over the fallow ground or along the river, a pouch slung over her shoulder. In addition to midwifery, she knew plants and their uses in medicines, and it was said she utilized incantations and charms in her practice. Rachel Mueller was a person whom, if you went to see, you went in private and in need, as had Basil with his dark and sticky hands on that fateful evening. Frau Mueller was made welcome by the women and offered beer, which she declined. She sat across from Arvid, who was still crying softly, and she studied her for a few moments. Then she asked to meet with the young woman in private. When the two of them returned, she spoke privately with Basil, who nodded his head solemnly. Then she insisted that he and the other males leave the room, including young Johannes and his cousin Zacharias, who were watching wild-eyed from a doorway. When the men had gone, the midwife spoke.
"We must do what we can to help this woman survive her pregnancy and to bring into life a new child."
She removed a small packet from her pouch, which she tied around Arvid's neck.
"We do not want you sneezing, my girl. Sneezing weakens the womb. Avoid intimacy with your husband. I will speak to him about this. And keep your eyes and thoughts away from ugliness and death. Attend no funerals. If you encounter a body in the street, be it animal or man, turn away. And your workload must be lightened. On the other hand, I don't want you lying about in bed like some lazy duchess who expects her food brought to her and her hair combed by a dutiful servant. I have seen your needlework. This you should keep up. Just avoid lifting sacks of grain or pushing about barrels of beer or kraut. I will come regularly, and when I approach this house, I want to hear your laughter ringing out and your voice singing. Do you understand?"
"I do," Arvid answered, wiping her eyes.
"You will bring to us a beautiful child," Rachel Mueller said softly, and she bent down and placed her hands on Arvid's shoulders.